you for joining us this Christmas season on the Mormon Channel as we present programs to inspire, instruct, and illustrate the spirit of Christmas. This is Stories from First Presidency Christmas Devotionals Gift Package 10. The following stories were given by members of the First Presidency during various church-wide broadcasts of their annual Christmas devotional. Each has a message that can enrich our lives and lift our spirit during this special season. We begin with a story told by President James E. Faust at the 2002 Christmas Devotional. President Faust described his memories of being away for Christmas that taught him the importance of family and friends.
I remember spending Christmases in Brazil on my first mission. We were in a small branch in Santo Amaro. We had a Christmas tree, and most of the decorations were wax candles, which were lit. The temperature outside was 100 degrees, and the burning candles made the temperature inside even hotter than it was outside. Those candles became droopy and were a real fire hazard. And we had a concern about burning the house down. Fortunately, we didn't. In my few Christmas seasons away from home and loved ones in faraway places, only one was not a happy time. It was the Christmas of 1943. Ruth and I had been married only a few months, and we had never been separated before. We were in the midst of World War II. Ruth and I said goodbye to each other as I embarked on a Liberty ship in San Francisco to go overseas. We did not know if we'd ever see each other again. I spent that Christmas in a military hospital in Cairo, Egypt, following a long, lonely, arduous 83-day voyage from San Francisco below Tasmania in the Antarctic Ocean and up through the Indian Ocean to Egypt. I had an infection in my foot and was recuperating from a bad cold which I had contracted and which had gone untreated during the journey. As I lay in that hospital in Cairo, I did not feel well, and I missed my new bride and my parents and my family very much. Looking back, however, I benefited from that experience because it increased my appreciation for my wife, family, and friends, and the happiness they brought into my life. I perhaps had taken those blessings too much for granted until then. Being among friends, old and new, enriches our enjoyment of the holiday season.
The old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder, would certainly apply to President Faust's experiences just related. It also increases our enjoyment of them when they are close. May we take advantage of the opportunities to grow closer to loved ones during this season. Next, in the 2008 Christmas devotional, President Thomas S. Monson shared a unique perspective on the birth of the Savior from the innkeeper's viewpoint.
There's an old story about an innkeeper in Bethlehem at the time of Christ's birth. Because of the census that was being taken by Caesar Augustus, the roads were crowded with people going to their own cities, and the inn at Bethlehem was full to overflowing. The old innkeeper was kept busy, hurrying hither and yon, and he could not do all the things demanded of him. At all the time, more travelers were coming and asking for accommodations for the night. There were two who came to the inn, a husband and a wife, whom the innkeeper would not have turned away for all the gold and silver in the world, had he known who they were. The husband said his wife was ill and could travel no further. The innkeeper quite possibly became impatient at the man's pleas and said abruptly, "There is no room for you here." The only lodging to be found for the couple was a manger, no doubt just a crude cave where animals were kept. The innkeeper missed the greatest opportunity that an innkeeper could ever have had. Long years afterward, it would not do him any good for him to repeat over and over again the words, "If only I had known who they were, I would have made room for them." Recall with me the words of the scripture. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." No room. No room. No room. Ever has it been. Today, lovely homes provide rooms for eating, rooms for sleeping, playrooms, sewing rooms, television rooms, but no room for Christ. Do we experience a pang of conscience as we recall his own words? "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." My brothers and sisters, I know that it is the desire of each of us to make time in our lives and room in our hearts for our Savior. No matter how successful we have thus far been at accomplishing such a goal, however, I am confident we would all wish to do better. Now, this very Christmas season is the perfect time to renew our efforts.
President Thomas S. Monson, in the 1999 Christmas devotional, shared the following modern-day example of a family who indeed made time in their lives and room in their hearts for the Savior and the spirit of the Christmas season.
Several years ago, a group of four Brigham Young University faculty members and their families decided to participate in Provo's Sub for Santa program at Christmas time. They found out about the family they would be helping and about the family's needs. And just prior to Christmas, they delivered the goods to the family. They were welcomed by the father and invited to come in and meet the rest of the family. The mother had baked homemade bread and offered it to them. The father then said he felt badly that he didn't have anything to give them in return, but thought as a Christmas gift to them, he would share something his family had experienced. He introduced the Sub for Santa faculty members to his son and daughter. He stated that the son, who was now 16, had been 10 at the time of the experience he wanted to relate. 6 years before, they had been in even more difficult financial circumstances than they were now. At that time, he and his wife had decided they could only afford two Christmas presents for the children, one that was a toy and one that was more practical. The son had wanted a basketball. When they put the presents under the tree, their son went to feel his two gifts. One was a cube-shaped object, but when he pressed it, he felt something that was round. His other present was soft and felt like a t-shirt or underwear. The son was very sure he was getting his basketball. A short time later, the parents called the children together and indicated that a family who was very poor and would have no Christmas presents for the children had moved into the neighborhood. They asked their children what they thought they should do and whether they might consider sharing what they were getting for Christmas. As a family, they decided to share what little they had. The son went to the Christmas tree and again felt his presents. First the cube with the round object inside, and then the soft package. He went back and forth and back and forth between the two packages and finally selected the cube, which he knew was his longed-for basketball, and offered it as his shared gift for the poor family. As Christmas approached, the father received a call from the bishop of his ward asking if he would consider helping deliver Christmas packages for the poor in the ward since he had a station wagon which could carry many gifts. The father said that of course he would help. After he hung up the phone, he realized that his station wagon contained but very little gasoline and that he didn't have any cash to buy more. He called the family together to see what they might suggest. They decided to collect pop bottles and aluminum cans in the surrounding area and then sell them to buy gasoline. Out they went, succeeding in their endeavor. The father went to the ward on the appointed evening prior to Christmas, and other ward members proceeded to fill his station wagon with gifts and food for the poor in the area. When his car was ready to go, the bishop handed the delivery list to the father. On the list, he read only one name, his own. Christmas gifts did come to this sharing family. Thank goodness for a bishop who allowed a family to feel they were sharing also at Christmas time, even though they had but little. I close with the words of a revered prophet, even President Harold B. Lee, who declared, "Life is God's gift to man. What we do with our life is our gift to God. May we give generously to Him as He has so abundantly given to us by living and loving as He and His Son have so patiently taught," is my earnest prayer.
The boy set an example of love and sacrifice that inspired others. Sacrifice brings blessings. Even when we have little to give in a material way, expressions of love are always more precious and appreciated. In the 2001 Christmas devotional, a personal story shared by President James E. Faust teaches that some of the simplest things can create lasting memories.
In a Christmas of the past, one of our boys and his wife were in college, just starting out in married life, and they had very little. They moved into a small old house that had been vacant and was in very poor condition. It took the combined efforts of family and friends several days to make it habitable. Christmas time came, and they had no money to buy any Christmas presents. With considerable ingenuity, they got some small rocks, washed them, dried them, painted them, and gave to each of us a nice hand-painted rock for Christmas. Each rock was unique. With the passage of time, their circumstances improved, but we still treasure the memory of the rock we received from them when they had no money.
Often the most inexpensive gifts, given from the heart, are the ones remembered most. President Gordon B. Hinckley shared another such example in the 2001 Christmas devotional. He told of a small price paid to bring joy to a young girl and her family at Christmas time.
"I want to tell you a story. It is true. It is the story of Howard Franson and a little girl. Some years ago, Brother Franson was a guide here on Temple Square. He was on duty one evening when it was bitter cold outside and snowing heavily. There were few visitors because of the weather. When he came upstairs in the visitor center, he noticed a little girl sitting alone and crying. It was not unusual for children to become separated from their parents. He told her, 'If you will come with me, I am sure we can find your parents.' She looked through her tears and said, 'But I have lost my bus ticket.' Thinking she was referring to the city bus, he asked, 'Where do you live?' Through her tears, she answered, 'Arkansas.' He questioned her further, and she told him she had been to visit a married sister in Seattle and was now going home for Christmas. The bus was delayed for 2 hours, and someone had told her to go to Temple Square, where she would have a warm place to wait. But while coming there, she had lost her ticket in the snow. She had gone back and forth but could not find it. She did not know what to do. She had no money to buy another ticket. Brother Franson put on his coat and said, "Let's look again." She grasped his hand and they shuffled through the snow to the bus station. But the ticket was nowhere to be found. All they discovered was a further delay in the departure of the bus. They returned to the visitor center, where he told her he would call her parents. She tearfully told him they did not have a phone. He was then able to call her sister in Seattle, hoping that she could get some word to the parents. Throughout all of this, the little girl had not smiled. He took her back to the bus station, purchased a ticket for her from his own purse, and waited with her until the bus was ready to leave. Only when she was safely seated and the bus pulled away did a big smile cross her face as she waved goodbye. In his prayer that night, he asked the Lord to see her safely home for Christmas. Several days later, a small envelope arrived in the mail. The address was written in pencil, minus some capitals and punctuation. Inside was a check for the bus fare and a note from her parents expressing thanks. Now, all of this was a small thing, but it is really a retelling of the parable of the Good Samaritan. It is the story of the Spirit of Christ at work in our time and in our neighborhood. It is not enough simply to read the scriptural accounts of Jesus Christ. It is so much more important to repeat in our own way the simple and wonderful lessons he taught. If there is to be a change in this quarrelsome old world, it must begin with each of us. And so our prayer at this wondrous season of Christmas is that we will look inward to test our own hearts and look outward for an opportunity to reach down and lift someone who is in need. It will not be difficult to find someone.
May each of us look for ways to perform Christ-like service at this season where we celebrate His birth. As President Hinckley said, if there is to be a change in this quarrelsome old world, it must begin with each of us. This has been Stories from the First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 10. We hope these stories have helped bring the true spirit of Christmas into each of your lives. You can learn more about the Mormon Channel and check other programming at radio.lds.org. Thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas from the Mormon Channel.